No, I think the most important, I think, realization is that as it's really the distinction between an info marketer and maybe a magazine publisher or even a book publisher, in that an info marketer is all about making a sale to get a customer, whereas most businesses are about trying to get a customer to make a sale.
Welcome to another Live with Roy interview, where you can listen in absolutely free as I, Roy Furr, interview the world's leading experts on information marketing and publishing, internet marketing, copywriting, selling, business success, and a whole lot more. You can browse the entire Live with Roy archives, download past calls, and join us to get first priority notification as soon as new interviews are available, all by visiting www.livewithroy.com. Again, the address is www.livewithroy.com. Now let's tune in for another exciting interview.
Hello, and welcome to another Live with Roy interview. Now, I'm very excited about our guest today. His name is Robert Scrub, and he's the president of the Information Marketing Association. He co-founded the IMA with Dan Kennedy and Bill Glazer. And what the IMA does for its members through teaching and the information that they share is they help you generate quick, sustainable wealth. Many members have made it very quickly in, you know, even in 12 months or less, up into the seven-figure range in the type of business that they're able to create. And we're going to talk a lot more about this on this call, including some stories that I'm sure Robert will be more than willing to share with us about the success that folks have created by building their own information marketing business in the right way. And I'm certain, based on other times that Robert has spoken, that he's going to deliver a lot of valuable content, and you probably want to pull out some paper and a pen right now and start taking notes. So with that, Robert, I'd like to say welcome, and we'll dive into the questions here.
Oh, my goodness, all this pressure. I got to actually deliver great content? Oh, man, I thought I was just going to be able to relax and let you do all the talking. It was going so well there.
Well, I think it comes fairly natural to you, or at least you've filled your brain with the stuff until it feels natural. So let's
can tell you that everything I know I have learned, a lot of it luckily through resources and investing and putting myself around the right people, and some of it unfortunately through a lot of hard luck choices. But we'll try to spare everybody those choices today and give and help short-circuit the success process.
Sounds good. Well, I know that you're going to have more information than we can cover in an hour. So let's dive in here. First off, for folks that are brand new to this, what is the information marketing business, the business model, and more importantly, why is it so appealing as a business model for somebody to go to follow, to get into?
Well, I think it. What appealed to me about it, when I really sort of figured all this stuff out, I was a consultant and delivering great services, and I had learned about this marketing guru, consultant, author, speaker named Dan Kennedy, and had bought a bunch of his resources and learned what he teaches. And in my consulting business, I was able to triple and quadruple my fees far beyond what any of my competitors were charging, at least double what any competitor. I mean, as a consultant, when you're charging $300 an hour and everybody else in your industry are charging $100 or even less, I mean, you're like on top of the world, man. I mean, it feels awesome, kind of strutting around, going, I'm pretty darn good. But then I looked around and I figured out that I wasn't going to be able to really boost my income very much at that time, unless I did a whole lot more hours. I would have to hire staff, or I'd have to do a lot of increasing of the size of my business in order just to get a little bit of income increase. And that's when I really started paying a lot of attention to what Dan Kennedy was talking about in the information marketing world. And what information marketing is just like I was as a consultant, helping people solve their problems. You do that through products, through you know, a product that could be, you know, some CDs and a manual, or videos that are posted online, or a book, or even a seminar or coaching program. Pretty kind of all of those fall under the information marketing umbrella. But you help them solve their problems and essentially teach them what, I mean, my first product was all about sponsorships and how to sell sponsorships. And I was doing the same things I was teaching the same things I was doing in my consulting business, but instead of actually doing it for them, I put it as a packaged product so that, you know, some percentage of customers who were never going to hire me could go ahead and buy that product and get a lot of value out of it. So overall, what it does is it helps you unlock yourself from trading hours for dollars and instead
Absolutely.
Create a product once that you can sell over and over again and for years. I mean, it's a very, very powerful business.
Okay, well, excellent. So you mentioned specifically that you got into this through consulting, and I've been consulting for the better part of a decade to publishers and information marketers, at first without even knowing that was who I was consulting with. But who is information marketing a good fit for? You mentioned consultants. Are there, if somebody is running some other type of business, they're not just a consultant, are they ruled out of this business? Are they not allowed in the inner sanctum of the industry? You know, who's it a good fit for?
Just consultants. That's it.
I struggle to believe that. I've heard some stories to the contrary.
I may have even told stories to the contrary. And actually, in fact, very few info marketers start out as consultants. Actually. The bulk are really just folks that have a great idea or a great way of doing their business, and that help turn around and want to teach others. And it'd probably be useful to kind of break down the types of markets that you could sell information products, if that's okay.
That would be helpful.
That would help back into the answer to your good question. The three types of products, I kind of categorize them, are the general population products, and that are for weight loss or any, you know, how to do a workout, fitness type products, things that would apply to pretty much anybody. Almost everyone has bought some sort of weight loss book or product or thing before. And a large percentage of the population have bought fitness-type products before. It could have been years ago, but, you know, generally, you know, all of us have fallen for one of those pitches at one time. And that's what kind of makes them everybody products. And
yeah.
The good thing about everybody products is there are a lot of potential customers. The downside of everybody products is that the marketing expense is so high because you're trying to talk to a whole lot of people, and the competition is high because there are the big companies with big corporations that can afford to hire a Roy Furr to do their copywriting are out there investing in that market. So It's for somebody just starting out, you've got to really bring not just your A game, but you got to bring the A game in order to be able to compete in that market.
Yeah, the highest paid marketing writers, advertising writers, and marketing consultants often end up working in the fields of health, money, and business opportunity. Those tend to be, you know, going to someone who you know, going to the mass market with those products tends to be where I see copywriters earning, you know, tens of thousands of dollars because their services are worth that. And in that market, if they're really able to get response on such a competitive playing field. But what are the other maybe that's pro baseball to pick up an analogy here. Are there company softball leagues as far as markets that we can go to as information marketers?
And also there's no, just like you said, I mean, the people, those top copywriters, they didn't start day one in those markets. They started themselves copywriting for other businesses and worked their way up. And that's the way it is with anybody. So just because you start somewhere else doesn't mean that you won't, you can't end up in the bigger markets later on. But the other are around interests. So take golf, or there is, you know, a golfer will spend an amazing amount of money on just, you know, shaving 3 strokes off their golf game, or in my case, maybe 35, 40 strokes off their golf game. A golfer is excited, rabid, and ready to buy. And there are hundreds of thousands of those types of things, from model airplanes to quilting, to scrapbooking, digital scrapbooking. There are all kinds of little hobbies. Playing pool. One of the earliest coaching clients, many, many, many years ago, was a guy who taught how to shoot pool through e-books. Amazingly enough, it was even before online video. But to teach somebody how to shoot pool in a book is pretty amazing. But nonetheless, those types of interests. Just like a golfer is very excited about golf, somebody that does a lot of quilting is really excited about new techniques and strategy. And so those little niches, it's amazing how good they can be for a business. Now, again, I did pros and cons of the big and pros and cons of this. Pros is you can get started relatively inexpensively. There are generally lists available that you can get access to, that you can promote to these folks. So it's a lot more economical. Kind of the downside is you can't often push price as much. The prices you sell products for in these niches are often quite a bit lower than in other areas.
I like to interject, and it's funny that you said model airplanes, because I don't know if you know about basically my oldest personal information marketing project, aside from all the work I've done with clients. My dad had recorded a video on how to cut foam wings for model airplanes. And he was selling it on eBay, and it started off, you know, he was doing the auction format, and it started off and it was fetching 20, 30 bucks a video. And slowly it got to the point where, you know, he was getting $5 a video and having to invest his time in duplicating the VHS and sending it out and all of that stuff. And it was, you know, a very cheap product. And I said, Dad, we can do this differently. Let me set up a website for you. I will write a sales letter for you that sells the video. We can set a fixed price and we'll just sell it. Now, you know, in retrospect, I should have picked a better market, a better product, all of that stuff, but it was something that was created. It was my dad's. It was his project, and so I decided to help him out. And we created this website and some follow-up email marketing. And basically, I've maybe spent 5 or 10 minutes a month on this, just answering customers and prospects' emails. And I've made thousands of dollars over the last few years from this little tiny niche. And less than 1,000 people a month search for related keywords on Google. But we come up at the top, and we kind of have won this little topic in the Google universe. And And there's definitely some opportunity there. I mean, immediately we multiplied his sales three or four times per month, and we were getting six times as much per sale as he was getting on eBay as far as price. So it very quickly, you know, became a little project that he now uses to he's bought an ultralight airplane, which is a little tiny airplane that you don't need a pilot's license for, and you take off of grass runways. It's just a hobbyist airplane flying thing, for lack of a better description. But he uses the income from this project to buy new parts and buy fuel for the ultralight. And he goes out a few times a week and just flies around over Nebraska, where I live and where he lives, and just enjoys himself from this one little project that we set up years ago.
And the old lady can't tell him not to buy stuff for his airplane because he's got his own little business to pay for it.
Exactly.
I love it.
So, so we've talked about these mass markets and we've talked about the niche markets. You mentioned three markets, I think, as far as what you can go to.
And I think that's a great example with your dad and the hobbyist, because, you know, that's model airplanes, but there's a thousand other little things, from little, you know, car models to quilting to hot rod cars, builds, all that. You know, it doesn't have to be a small little hobby. It can be a big hobby. Oh, my goodness, how about Corvette clubs or Harley-Davidson clubs? All those types of things have people who are excited and motivated about participating and interested in products. The third category are around business niches. You're from chiropractors to carpet cleaners to attorneys to CPAs. Each of these professions has their own magazines, their own kind of people that they pay attention to. There are, believe it or not, there are events where groups of geologists go together and talk about rocks and dirt and earth formations. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but I've actually even been there, so I know there are geologist meetings. And so, you know, all these different professions have their own events, and they have lists. And one of the unique things, there's several different unique things, and this is going to loop back to the answer to your question that started all of this, which was, who is this for? But each of these niches have lists, so you're able to market to the people within the industry easily enough. They can be profiled, so you can, you know, whether it's a dermatologist has a very different life than does an anesthesiologist. But kind of once you know which of those you are targeting, you can then create all your marketing and your products to suit the customer that you're targeting. So there's a lot of known things that you can research and find out and experience and be able to market to your customer. And then the other thing is, you can often charge as high a prices for these types of products as any other niche, or any of the other three that we talked about, because there's rarely a lot of competition. And even in niches where there are a lot of folks already offering products, that, you know, the customers are not price sensitive, and often there's really what you offer. You'd want to structure what you're offering so that you are really not competing with anybody anyway, because of the way you described or the way you were selling or exactly kind of what you were delivering. And we can get into that in a little more detail if you like. But so competitors really aren't a big issue in this business. It's mostly when you're selling to a professional, let's say you're selling, one client that I'm working with right now, he is a dentist, and he has a way of doing a customer appreciation event that generates last year it generated 220 new patients. And his average patient value is $2,500. So
Wow. That's
over $500,000 of new revenue in his dental practice off of a one-day event. He held it from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 5 p.m., and it generated the 200-plus patients. So you think, Roy, that some other dentists would like to know how to do that themselves?
Absolutely. And you know, if it's worth $500,000, even if it's worth $250,000 to these folks this year and $250,000 to these folks again next year and the year after and the year after, you can see where there's incredible price elasticity and where if you can show folks the value of the information that you're giving them, even if it's presented in a very simple way, how much these folks would be willing to pay for it, because they're no longer buying, you know, books, CDs, binders, course material, even seminars. They're buying, you know, $250,000 in additional revenue for their business this year and every year down the road. And so it's absolutely an appealing part of the information marketing business to be able to go to folks who, if you can create business results for them, are willing to pay you a lot of money, even if it's not for, you know, direct consulting hours, if it's for, you know, access to your system and the ability to apply it in their business.
Yeah, and that goes also to answer your question. So no longer is it a consultant that is already kind of in business helping people that would really be going through this door, but you know, anyone that has anyone that has really an interest, sitting down, going through their pasts and their backgrounds, we can often I've always been able to find something that they would really like to do and that they are uniquely qualified to do. It just so happened last month, I met with four different dentists, and each of them we were able to find a completely unique way of targeting, each one had something that they were doing that was very unique and different within their practice that was generating significant clients that we were able to really leverage into a business of their own, where they could package what they knew and into a useful format for other dentists and make that available. And so here is a thing, you know, like this, you know, this doctor with the customer appreciation event, yeah, it's generating $500,000 for him running through his dental practice, but at the same time, he can turn this around, and if he's able to sell it for, you know, he's going to sell it for a substantial amount, but even if it was, you know, $5,000 to 100 other dentists, that's another $500,000. There's a $5 million that he can generate from that method that he would never be able to generate within his own dental practice.
Absolutely, and that certainly justifies. You know, one of the things that I have found, the more I get to understand the difference between a lot of folks I talk to who are interested in building this business and folks who are actually doing it successfully, is it, if you do this right, if you kind of follow the proven business models out there, this isn't just about the latest, you know, internet marketing fad or you know, selling ebooks on the internet or whatever. It's about building a real sustainable business that you get a customer base of people who are interested in hearing from you, and you have real products that you can ship out to them, even if those real products come from a fulfillment center instead of your office. And then, you know, you're able to, you know, with revenues like that from being able to sell this system, you know, to get more clients for your dental practice, you're able to, you know, add another employee who can manage a lot of this stuff for you, and there's still tons of profit in the business. Now, talking about
let me if you don't mind, Roy, let me answer one more piece of that. Who is this for? Question.
Okay.
Which with the other side of this is you may not necessarily have to have the knowledge either. If you look at a typical book publisher, you don't really think about it when you're just buying the books, but all a publisher does is go out and find authors and have the author write the book. Sometimes the author's got to pay to write the book. Other times they'll kind of make it even Steven, or sometimes it's harder and harder to get an advance as an author. But the publisher finds the expert, and all the publisher does is they're an expert at taking the manuscript that was written by the author, putting it in the format of a book, getting it out and distributing it out to bookstores. Well, that publisher model can work very similar within the information marketing business, but at much higher margins. For instance, I've got a business that I'm selling products to motorcycle dealers. I have never worked in a motorcycle dealer. I'm not qualified to work in a motorcycle dealer, but there are lots of consultants out there who are qualified. And so I work with them to put together a product, and I video record it, or pull a program together, and then I know how to make that into a CD program, publish that, sell it to the list of customers that we have, and instead of selling it as a book for $20. We're able to sell it as an information product for $1,000 or more. And so you don't necessarily need to have the information. In fact, if you know how to be a publisher in information products, that can actually be much more valuable than being an expert in anything in particular.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, let's just follow this line of thought for just a minute longer, because this is an important question and important opportunity. So if you don't have that expertise, and now people look at you and they say, Robert, you run the Information Marketing Association. Of course you can go out and reach out to people and say, hey, I want to, create an info product, and here's the list of people that I want to sell it to, and I can take care of all of this for you. If you are, if I'm just getting started and I want to approach somebody who is an expert in a particular industry and get their expertise on tape and be able to, forgive that old expression, get their expertise on CD and share it with a target market of folks who are likely to become buyers. How do I approach those experts and actually get them to agree to do this project with me?
I don't know that. Maybe it does get easier, but as you've done this more, but I don't know, because I still have to go through the same thing every time that I used to. Not that I'm a household name or anything, but that what's lucky for us though, Roy, is
yes.
that most folks out there are pretty greedy. And if you offer them an opportunity to be recognized as an expert, to share their information with others, and maybe not, it's up to you, share the financial incentive, then they are perfectly willing to participate. And
yeah.
So if you're in a chiropractic niche and you study what half a dozen different chiropractors are doing in their marketing, and you decide that you're going to put together a six audio interview system where you're going to interview each of those six chiropractors, maybe you would need to invite eight in order to get six, but I would be willing to bet if you invited six, I wouldn't be at all surprised if all six said yes, because people want to be recognized for being good at something. They walk around every day without, they can't, who are they going to brag to about their marketing? They can't brag to their spouse. Their spouse just is frustrated that they spend too much time at the office. They can't brag to their brother. Their brother is just jealous because You know, they make more money than they do. They can't brag to their employees because their employees will want to raise. They can't brag to their competitors because their competitors will swipe their ideas.
Well, and half the time they have no, you know, whoever they have around them to brag to has no clue what they do. I was just got together with some family this past weekend, and somebody asked me if I was still doing that technical writing. And I said, well, you know, I'm still doing the writing that I was doing, and you know, a lot of people don't understand a lot of the world outside of their personal circle and their personal experience, and you know, to be given an audience of folks who not only understand what it is that you're doing and the challenges that you've overcome and all that, but who are interested in hearing from you, there's a lot of ego appeal to that. I mean, in a different realm, people will go to great lengths to get featured, you know, not just in the Wall Street Journal, but in a little trade publication. If you look at business journals, all it is stories about what's going on in local businesses. It's, you know, people love to be featured and will give their time freely to do that. And if you throw in a little financial incentive there, you know, my experience is start asking and you'll be surprised what you get.
And I've even found that by not sharing the financial incentive, that I actually get better compliance. If I open up with, hey, I've got this way to, I'm going to pay you to be part of this product, I often get more hesitant, they hesitate more than if I just say, hey, I'd like to feature you. You know, you got a lot of expertise. I'm creating this program. I'd like to interview you. You know, it could be, you know, an hour or half a day or a full day. You know, you got to kind of make it convenient to them, or else you'll get a flat no. But you know, I've often found that, you know, let them bring up whether or not they get paid, and
yeah.
Most often they're happy to do it because if they're talking to the newspaper or they're talking to the trade journal or they're talking at the association event, they're not getting paid for any of that stuff. So they just, they do it for notoriety. They do it so that they can be well thought of within their industry, and that they're happy to. They don't necessarily feel like they need to get paid for that.
Absolutely. When you position yourself almost as media to feature them, it becomes a different conversation. That's a really good tip for folks that feel like they don't have the expertise to get started and they would like experts, to just start by asking without any compensation. You know, maybe if you're creating a program that's centered around one person, there may have to be compensation. But if you create a program that, you know, here are six people who are successful at what they're doing and their insights, it becomes more like, you know, the leaders in the industry. So let's start looking at what an information marketing business looks like. And I have to tell you, I was really angry at you, Robert, because I was talking it'll make sense in a moment. I was talking to a gentleman named Dennis Miller who writes for an investment publication, and he had come to this realization about his own investment portfolio management strategy and what it needed to look like. And he said, you know, it took me a little bit, but I came up with this idea of a pyramid. And what I need to do is, you know, the pyramid represents all the money that I'm investing today. And the bottom of the pyramid should be money that I never want to touch, and it will always be there if I do need to touch it. And so the types of investments there are, you know, what you would call, you know, completely safest investments. And then as you go up the pyramid, you put less and less money toward each classification of investments. And at the very top of the pyramid is the most speculative. But at the bottom of the pyramid, you know, you're not making a lot of money off that investment. It's just money that, you know, it's just something that has to be there. And at the top, you pursue, with the least amount of money, you pursue the most aggressive investing strategies that may double your money this year. And it's a way to maintain your wealth while building your wealth. It's it, it you get the picture.
Yeah,
so
you got a little stratification of what assets you're doing what with.
Absolutely. So I had this idea. I'm looking at this, and I say, you know what? This is actually a good model for almost any business, and in particular, the publishing business or the information marketing business. And so, you know, at the bottom, you have you know, the free information that you put out to attract people to your business. And then as you go up, there's lower priced products and higher priced products and continuity and seminar, and you can even stick consulting on the top and mastermind groups and that sort of thing. And then, you know, I swear that, well, to my honest recollection, I had never seen the pyramid as you teach it prior to this realization that this would be a great model for building an information marketing business. And then, you know, within days, I see your info marketing pyramid, and you know, I raised my fist and I shook it and I said, Robert.
Well, if it's any consolation, you can steal it from me because I stole it from Dan Kennedy. So, and I'm sure he stole it from somebody else before. So feel free to teach it. That's fine.
Okay, fair enough. Well, if I'm looking, and that's my long way to set up talking kind of about the information marketing pyramid, and if I'm looking to build a successful information marketing business, what's that going to look like in 3 to 5 years? Not tomorrow, but, you know, if I start today and I'm building this business and I'm adding products, how do I structure it so that, you know, not only am I making sales, like I could publish a bunch of ebooks and make a bunch of, you know, $20 sales, but that's not quite the sustainable business that I'm looking for in the high profit business. You know, how I may have answered the question already and I apologize, but how do you structure that business? Where do you start? How do you build on it?
No, I think the most important, I think, realization is that it's really the distinction between an info marketer and maybe a magazine publisher or even a book publisher, in that an info marketer is all about making a sale to get a customer, whereas most businesses are about trying to get a customer to make a sale. With info marketing, you had talked about the ebook publisher. Well, the difference between an ebook publisher, he's got their ebook and it can be about some sort of topic, and the customer shows up to his website, buys his ebook, and the ebook gets delivered, and boom, boom, all done. That's the life cycle of the transaction. But the info marketer is more about trying to sell that ebook in order to establish a relationship with that customer. And what there needs to be is, when that customer makes that initial purchase, that there is a automated process that invites that customer to buy more advanced, higher-priced programs. Because, you know, as you know, sure, your experience with weight loss and those other industries, what they're doing, you know, you see all these ads and magazines, and if you go to the really smart businesses that know what they're doing, you will buy some sort of introductory product, and then maybe immediately while you're still on the phone with that customer or with that company, they'll invite you to buy something else, or within days they will be inviting you to buy other programs and products. And that's how the information marketing business works. Somebody who comes to you as a dentist who has a marketing plan, you offer the opportunity to have their marketing plan. Well, the first thing they're going to need is help. You know, they're going to have questions. They need help coaching. You know, they need help with more advanced products and programs. And so you're able to sell them additional products and services, and that's the real key, is that And it's also, I think, the key between, you know, we get a little advanced in the call, but, you know, but between beginning info marketers and advanced info marketers, beginning info marketers think that, you know, we'll get these customers and then we'll write an email and we'll send all customers we've ever gotten the same email every day. And they'll offer either through as an affiliate or through, you know, some other product that they might be by trying to promote. The real advanced info marketers will have a very structured upsell process so that, for instance, Dan Kennedy's, you know, they have a program where after, when they get a new customer, at 7 days after they've got a new customer, that customer is invited to a special webinar. Well, the webinar is all done and automated. And it looks like it's live because there's, you know, only one or two dates that are available for the for them to register, but it's really just they're just registering for the thing to be broadcast to them. They don't know that, but that, you know, the point is it's all automated, and so you know, once you set these things in motion, you're able to start testing and going, okay, well, if we offer it at 7 days versus 14 days, how does that change the number of sales? If we offer this webinar first and that webinar second, how does that impact sales? And you kind of go you back and forth and you can tweak. The other thing that allows you to do is spend all your time, all your creative energy getting new customers, because all of the, what we call the back-end sales, which are sales to the customers, that you know, to existing customers, all that is automated. But that's the real key, and that sounds very advanced and difficult, but you really are setting it up step by step as you go, and so it's not as intimidating as it sounds, but that's the real business.
Okay. Well, I have another question about kind of getting started, but first I want to interject a little promotion. Very, very soon on Live with Roy, I'm going to be speaking with Dave Sherman from Infusionsoft, and I know that Information Marketing Association and Dan Kennedy and lots of other folks do use Infusionsoft to create these systems within your business. And for a small business, it is one of the best software packages out there as far as integrating, you know, the actual selling of items through your website, through online, with all sorts of follow-up sequences, not just, you know, email autoresponders like you might get with AWeber or others. But you know, you can trigger a sales team phone call, you can trigger a direct mail follow-up. It's and there is real power in what Robert is saying. Even if you're not able to do that for a year or two, if you're starting an information marketing business today, that there's real power in being able to build that going forward and thinking of it not just as, okay, make a sale and then next week we'll run a promotion for our back-end stuff, but creating an automatic system that does this. And it's something that, you know, my clients get a lot of value out of me helping them with, and you'll get a lot of value implementing it yourself.
I was one of the first few Infusionsoft customers. And the nice thing about it, Roy, is it's all set up and forget it. I mean, I've got automated follow-up sequences that I created 5 years ago. I wrote these emails, loaded them in Infusionsoft, and when somebody goes and buys, the emails go out. And I haven't had to touch those things for 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's not something you kind of look at and go, oh, my gosh, how on earth am I ever going to do it? You just do it piece by piece, and then all of a sudden you look back and go, oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that little project for my dad. Now, granted, this is making the first sale, not sales afterwards. But the little project for my dad that I mentioned, once somebody signs up just to receive some tips by email, they're going to receive 22 emails from me over the course of a couple months. And they have a 1 in 5, actually better than 1 in 5 chance of becoming a buyer of that particular product once they agree to receive those tips by email. And I don't think about those 22 tips and sending them on the right day and all of that. I set that up about 5 years ago, and it's just made us a lot of money since then. And when I said I spend, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes a week, it's because somewhere in that series I say, hey, did you have any other questions that I haven't answered yet? Just to engage with folks in a different way. And, you know, I get an email or two a week, and it's a quick question to answer. But it's other than that, you know, and that's not even necessary. It can all be pretty much automatic, and it can be automatic to make your first sale and automatic to make sale after sale after sale after that.
And Roy, it's actually a very, very important internet marketing, I would say, law at this point, that what I found is that you will get 3 times your sales from your follow-up process than you ever will from first, you know, the visitor shows up to the website and then immediately buys. And actually, you know, we're embroiled at this time in a presidential campaign, and that is something that the Obama campaign has figured out that the Romney camp hasn't yet. If you go to the, you know, Mitt Romney's website, it's, you know, many of the landing pages are contribute. And if you go to the Barack Obama website, the landing pages are, we'd love to engage with you. You know, here, put in your email address for access to the site. And then with the email address, they're following up 2 and 3 emails a day sometimes, following up, getting that first contribution. Then when they get somebody who invests with even a $5 contribution, then they're able to get on the phone with them in order to try to upgrade them to higher contributions. And so it works in politics as well as any other business. And what you just said is a brilliant example. What you did for your dad is perfect, because you at least multiplied his sales times 3 by setting up that sequence of 22 emails.
Yeah, it's probably more than that, because it's very infrequent that I get someone that buys before signing up for the email sequence.
Right.
And I kind of designed it that way. I want them to sign up to the email sequence. That's my first priority when they hit the site, because I know the value of having them agree to receive more communication from me. So if I want to get started in the information marketing business fast, you know, I want to start making an income that supports me, you know, continuing to build this business. You have some stories of people that have done that in the official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing, your book, that has obviously a lot more than we can cover on the call here. But if I want to get started fast, what are the first steps I should take in my information marketing business? Should I spend the next 6 months coming up with a product, or what should I do?
You know, it was kind of unique. It was probably, I think it was 99 or I think, or so. About then, it was Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer, and myself were on a panel, and somebody asked a question that said, you know, hey, you know, can't you, you know, make all of this into a recipe that we can follow? You know, this is just complicated stuff. And, you know, Dan's kind of message at the time was, look, yeah, of course it's complicated. You know, there's a lot of different factors of where you start, whether you have information, whether you have money to invest, whether you have any, you know, knowledge about putting on events, whether you're a good speaker, whether you're a good writer. And so, you know, it's almost impossible to create any one way in order to launch an information marketing business. And that really bugged me. You know, although it was, you know, completely right and logical, I just really got annoyed that there was not any one way. So over the next few weeks, I actually went back and went through all of the past Jumpstart coaching calls that I do. Every month I do a coaching call for beginning information marketers and help answer their questions. And, you know, sometimes those calls have, you know, 4 people and they last a half hour. Other times they'll go 90 minutes. It just depends how many people call in. Well, I went back through 4.5 years of those calls. It was something like 60 hours worth of calls. And I charted every question and all of my answers. And what I found is that although there isn't any one way, there are five. And within the official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing, with Chapter 12, beginning on page 93, I actually start, there's a little table there to walk folks through exactly the different launch model, you know, which you're kind of introducing the launch models and which launch model is the best for you and in your particular situation. But before you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say we're kind of running out of time, but okay. Maybe you could just walk through quickly at least one of those to give people an idea of maybe what that would be, or maybe you were taking this in a different direction.
Yeah, well, the first thing to start with before you're ready to launch is to really define your market, because so many folks when they want to get started, and they'll, you know, just talk with them and ask them a couple of basic questions such as, you know, who do you want to market to? Chances are they want to market to a whole lot more people than is really necessary. And I've got a person who. He was on a Jumpstart coaching call not too long ago. He's a coaching client now, but on my first conversation with him, he was like, "Oh, well, I'm going to market to all bar owners," and like, "Okay, well, that's a lot of different people. You know, I think it's 600,000 nationwide." And then, so in working with him, we actually did a little bit of research, and 600,000 bar owners. But if you go down just to sports bars, then that narrows it down to about 25,000, and I'm coming up with these numbers off the top of my head, so they're not accurate. They're just kind of representative of what the numbers do. So you go from 600,000 bars across the country to 25,000 sports bars, and what we did is we actually narrowed him down to the sports bars in Ohio, and that was something in the neighborhood of like 1,500 or 1,800. And that was a list that you can readily mail to, you can get, and you can afford to do some marketing and testing and learning before you then try to, you know, roll this out to the full list of 600,000. So the first thing is narrow down your market.
Absolutely. And when you think about it, you know, communicating with a sports bar owner is very different than communicating with a dance club owner or a biker bar owner. And so there may even be, you know, niche markets to focus on there. And that's, you know, that's just an example. It's representative of what you face. And this is consistent among folks who've really been successful in internet marketing and information marketing and building any sort of business is knowing your market first.
And just because you start with a smaller niche and a narrow focus doesn't mean you can't expand it or shouldn't expand it later. It just is a much quicker, inexpensive way to get started and learn as you are making money.
Absolutely. So in just a couple minutes here, are there, you know, maybe two or three really common roadblocks that new info marketers face, maybe that you hear about on the calls for IMA members, and specific strategies that help folks break through those specific roadblocks? I feel like the amount of time required to get started is maybe a roadblock that a lot of people perceive, whether it's real or not, and that lack of expertise problem. We kind of spoke to that already, but
yeah. There are two, and there are two that come up over and over again, and that is they are intimidated, that they just don't feel like they have the expertise, and maybe they're even a little bit of afraid that if they put themselves out there, what are other people going to think about them? Who are they to proclaim that they have the answers in these areas? So that's one of the things that slows people down in. And that's, you know, more generally that is simply a recognition that they have information of value to customers. And the only way, the more you put yourself out there and the more people who know your name, the more criticism you're going to get. I mean, you can go to, you know, I mean, somebody like, as controversial as Lady Gaga. You know, there are a whole lot of people who criticize her, but I think she's making a whole heck of a lot more money as this huge celebrity than she ever were if she were to keep herself tame and not create any controversy. And I'm not saying, Roy, that you should wear, you go out on stage in a bra and panties, but you ought to be controversial in your own way by making sure that, you know, folks who are facing a challenge understand that you've got a solution to help solve a problem.
I was going to accuse you of peeking in my wardrobe.
That's kind of scary. The next is overwhelm, and you know there's a lot of information here. Even stuff that we talked about on this call, from follow-up sequences to upsells to back-end marketing to narrowing your niche down to we glossed over product creation and things. And it can be so easy to become overwhelmed. And that's really why I'm so proud of the official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing. Is I work real hard to break it down and make it very step-by-step for the reader so that you don't have to worry about step 7, 8, 9, and 10. Let's just focus on step 1 and 2 right now. And that's the real trick is... It's fine to be building a business for the future and be building something that you're going to be able to grow into. You know, right now, if you're just getting started, maybe $1 million business would blow your mind. But, you know, there's no problem at all building this into a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, $10 million a year business that probably only has maybe, even at $10 million, you're probably maybe got 15 or 20 employees. And that's very doable. But let's worry about that after we launch and after we get started. Let's have our first calls and our first product, and then we'll start to grow into that other business. But too many people focus on 8 steps ahead when they would be much better served with just focusing on what's in front of their hands right now.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So I think I'm going to steal my last question for you, and I'm going to answer it. Because my last question for you was what's that first step that I should take today, right now, if I want to build my own $1 million information marketing business? And I've been consulting with publishers and information marketers for, like I said, the better part of a decade. I've grown a reputation in this industry, and you know, I really felt like I had all my ducks in a row. But when it came time to switch from consultant to information marketer myself and to start developing my own business plan, identifying markets, building my own business, what I decided to do was, you know, get off the couch and finally become an Information Marketing Association member. And I've actually worked with Robert's office to make it really easy, not to actually become a member, but just to test drive it for a couple months and get in there and experience all the information that you get. You get, not only do you get those jumpstart calls, you also get a monthly call with an expert in the industry going deep on a very specific topic that will help you in building a more successful business. And you get Dan Kennedy's information, No BS Info Marketing Letter. And on alternating months, you get the Information Marketing Special Reports where he goes deep on a specific topic. And a whole member site full of additional resources on building your Information Marketing Association. your information marketing business. And it really is a wealth of content, but it really all starts with that blueprint that you, Robert, have laid out in the official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing. You know, so that me, somebody like me, somebody listening to this call, can just go step by step and learn from, you know, real stories. That book is as much a storybook as a blueprint, because, you know, although it's based on this blueprint for success, it uses stories of folks who've applied all of this, and true stories of Information Marketing Association members to teach, you know, how you can do it too, how, you know, if you choose to, you could build a million-dollar business in maybe as quick as 12 months, or a lot more, as other Information Marketing Association members have. So here's the deal that I worked out with Robert's office. If you pay $9.95 for the book, and that's 4 cents cheaper than you can get the Kindle book through Amazon, and the paperback book through Amazon is $12.66, so this is the cheapest place to get it. You don't have to pay any shipping. Robert's office will ship the book out to you and give you 2 free months of Information Marketing Association membership. There's more information about this, and you can sign up and get that book sent to you right away by going to livewithroy.com/IMA. And if you're listening to this through the website, there's a link below the interview. But again, that's livewithroy.com/I for information, M for marketing, A for association, livewithroy.com/IMA, and you can get that free book and give the Information Marketing Association a try. So, Robert, I want to thank you very much. I'm certain my members will get tons of information out of this, or my listeners will get tons of information out of this, and I'm really happy, proud, excited to feature you on a Live with Roy interview and to be able to share this resource with folks.
Hey, it's an honor to be on the program today, and my goodness, I've just impressed with what you've done, and happy to be a small part of what you're building. So thank you very much for inviting me, and I hope if anybody, you know, feel free to go to the link, and you'll have an opportunity to get more information. Any of the emails you receive from me, if you hit reply, you'll actually come to me. So I am happy to help and make sure that you have the resources that you need in order to be successful. We're not just a blank face corporation here. We're really about trying to help people succeed.
Yeah, real people building real businesses.
Exactly.
So, again, the website address is livewithroy.com/IMA. Go check that out. And thank you again, Robert. And this has been another Live with Roy interview.
Hey there, this is Roy Furr, and I just want to say thank you for tuning in to another Live with Roy interview. If you haven't already joined us, I encourage you to drop everything and go to www.livewithroy.com. Join us today and you'll get first priority notification when new interviews are posted and ready for you to listen. This is the single best way for you to get access to all the new interviews I post with the world's leading experts on information marketing and publishing, internet marketing, copywriting, selling, business success, and a whole lot more. I'll even send you a free gift by email right away when you join now. It costs you nothing but your name and email address, and the content you'll get could be transformational to your life and business. All you have to do is go to www.livewithroy.com and join us now. Again, that's www.livewithroy.com. Thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you again soon.